Beloved, you are listening to Grace Life Komi Podcast, a platform commissioned by God to raise men into completeness in Christ Jesus. We believe that you will be blessed beyond measure as you give yourself wholly to this divinely inspired teaching. Through God's servant Pastor Chimdi Ohahuna, grace to you, Jesus is Lord.
You honor and thanksgiving, say hallowed be your name forever in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, as you are going to the study of the Beatitudes, we ask, Lord, for you to teach us your word. Holy Spirit, grant us understanding that we may live in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
All right, we are going to the ninth Beatitude today, which happens to be the last Beatitude. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore. It's amazing to see that the Beatitudes are nine, the fruit of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit.
Nine.
It's so amazing to see the number nine appearing over and again and again. It's no coincidence. Jesus spoke about the Beatitudes, the nine of them. And then the fruit of the Spirit, Paul began to speak. There are nine. There are nine. Gifts, Paul began to speak. There are nine. It's no coincidence. Nine is a number of fruitfulness. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Remember, the first component of the blessing that God gave to man, Genesis 1, verse 28, is what?
Be fruitful.
So it's no coincidence that in nine months, the woman is a due period for what? For delivery. Yeah. So it's no coincidence that nine is a number is a number that has to do with what? The Beatitudes. And the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. In other words, these are things that we have to give birth as spirit man, as new creation, gives birth to through our body, through our character, through our lifestyle, through everything. Are you get what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so if we are not being fruitful, basically, when we talk about fruitfulness, more than not, Christian thinks of, when a Christian thinks of fruitfulness as, you're having cars, you're having houses, you're having, that's a proof of being fruitful. No, the proof of being fruitful is that you are manifesting the fruit of the Beatitudes.
Mm.
You are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
You are manifesting the gift of the Spirit. Mm. That's what it means to be fruitful. Now, whether you have houses or cars or lands or money, by manifesting this, it doesn't determine that you are fruitful. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because when we manifest this, the actual fact that if you look at this, I'm just looking at this Matthew chapter 5. After the Beatitude, Jesus begins to speak about what? The light. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So without the Beatitude, you cannot manifest as light. You cannot manifest as what? Salt. Amen. And we're going to be looking at that. Because after the Beatitude, we look at this light and salt. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Because I believe, you see, there's no, in the sequence of scripture, there's no coincidence. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
There's no coincidence. Everything follows order. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
So, fruitfulness is, we bear fruit when we become the light, when we become the light that men see and give glory to the Father, when we become the soul that preserves our environment. Mm-hmm. But this can only happen after what we have given birth to what this attitude of Christ. Praise God for the attitudes to be. Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it's very important we take note of this, the 999. And another way to understand is that 9 basically is 9 over 10, which is 90%. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
When Adam was created by God, God breathed into him his breath, the neshama, and he became a living soul. The breath gave man 90%. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
The form, the dust, was 10%. Praise God forevermore. Actually, it means that we need only 10% to actually live on this earth as humans. Are you get what I'm saying? But for us to live as God here on earth, we need what? 90%. When Adam died, God told him, "Cursed is the ground for your sake. From it where you take it to eat, are you done? Are we together?"
Yes.
And he said, "He told him, the day you eat of this fruit, you shall die." And that day Adam ate of it, that day he died spiritually. Amen to Jesus.
Yes.
That means he lost his 90%. So he was living on what? on only 10%. The 90% that we require to live as God here on earth is what? The 9 Beatitudes, the 9 fruit of the Spirit, the 9 gift of the Spirit. Praise God forevermore. When these 9 are in place, we are living 100% as God here on earth. Amen to Jesus. That, and it's very important for every child of God to have these 9 in place. If not, you live a life that is what? That is only just 10%. A lot of Christians are living 10% Christian life. That's why you see them, they compete with the world. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm.
They live the world standard. It's even amazing to see that even the way church is run now, it is run like the world. The way Christians run their business, they run their business like the world. We are now taking mentorship from the world instead of the world taking what? Mentorship from us. Why? Because a lot of Christians are living a 10% life. And the Bible makes us understand, what shall it profit a man if he shall what? Gain the whole world and what? Lose his soul. The desire to gain the whole world is a 10% life.
Mm.
That is that to gain the world. It's a 10% life. Amen to Jesus. Mm. And that's the pain we see in the church today. A lot of Christians are living 10%. They are born again. They are supposed to be on 100%. Are you getting me?
Mm.
But they have chosen to live 10%. And that means they are living far below expectation. The word sin is the word hamartia, the Greek word hamartia. One of the words that explains hamartia is to fall below the standard. What is the standard of God? The standard of God is for us to live what? 100%, which is what? 90% of the beatitude, the fruit of the Spirit, and the gift of the Spirit. And 10% of what? The human life. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm.
Now, so if we choose to only live 10%, what are we doing? We are depriving ourselves. Are we together?
Yeah.
And we are living below the standard of God. And that is actually a sin. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God for us. I want to talk about anything about fornication, adultery, and the list goes on and every of that. No, it's more than that. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
It's living below God's standard. And that's the reason why you see that Christians are not living fulfilled. Christians are not living joyful. They're not living satisfied. They are living frustrated and every of that. Because we have chosen on a larger scale to live at what? 10%. And it looks fine living at 10% in this earth, but it's the most difficult and frustrating way for a child of God to what? To live. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Alright. So we're looking at the last beatitude that is blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. All right. Now we looked at the previous beatitude was blessed are you when you are persecuted. Is that not so?
Yes.
But now we looked at persecution and we saw the gravity of persecution when you are made to flee because of your standing for Christ, when you are made to, you know, to even flee a comfort zone because you are standing for Christ. Amen to Jesus.
Mm.
When you are made to go through hardship, to evil, to wickedness because you are standing for Christ. Praise God for that. Because you won't do what others want you to do. Amen.
Amen.
I remember in the previous location where we were, a lady met me and she was talking and said that one of our pastors, she met a pastor, and the pastor was telling her that many pastors are doing many things now just to make church grow. She went to a church and she just discovered that when she came back, things were blah 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 blah, and the prophet started praying for her to that flies are following her, demons feet, and you know, people are doing very, and then she was in the telling me to go and do different things. Somebody had the effort to tell a wife that, you know, he wants to take her to his baba, his father, so that the church will grow. And we're like, wow, what? I cannot serve God and use the devil. I cannot use the devil to serve God. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Aside the fact that many men of God, many ministers of the gospel, I don't criticize, but I don't know, they are putting their hands into things. Others have merchandised it. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm.
And when you don't want to follow that trend, you'll be highly persecuted.
Mm.
Now, I've come this number of years knowing this thing. I've seen it. You'll be highly persecuted. They'll try to run you out of business, out of the work. They'll try to frustrate you because you are actually making the work difficult for them by standing for righteousness.
Mm.
And I'm talking from experience. And actually, the the podcast was an open door when they did anything to frustrate us. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And these are persecution. It's painful to see Christians today will not want to be persecuted. Painful to see Christians today live to prove a point. Are you getting what I'm saying? I can't remember when last I lived to prove a point. Are you getting what I'm saying? Christians will live to prove a point. Christians will live to be safe. Christians will live to not be persecuted. Christians will live for many reasons other than what? Righteousness. And if you're living for righteousness, you would actually go contrary to every of these things. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
All right, so it talks about not being persecuted for righteousness, but here it's talking is the climax. If the climax of the beatitude has to do with suffering for Christ. You know, I looked at my phone today, I saw our health conference of last year. When it was all about suffering for Christ, suffering for Christ, suffering for Christ. And I looked at it again. And I had to upload some of those quotes on my status again. Basically, I don't have many people flocking around my ministry because it's all about these kind of things. Amen. Not because we are perfect, amen, but we are just choosing to do it the right way, the way that Christ has desired. Because at the end of the day, what we desire is to hear, welcome that good and faithful servant. He never said, welcome that good and faithful apostle, pastor, evangelist. And the list goes on. Bishop. He never said, I said, welcome that good and faithful servant. You know, and I was looking at it like, wow. But today we don't see us seeking to suffer for Christ. Suffer with Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? We don't see Christians wanting that. Christians is the complete. Somebody told me some years ago, like, Abraham, God took long that time to answer him. Said that was Abraham's time. Now God doesn't have to take long to answer us. And he actually cut off from me. Amen to Jesus. And years later, about 20 years later, I got more, I don't know. So they sent me a message and saying, Father, like, oh, Father, wonderful. And I'm beginning to see that the things I understood then is beginning to understand them in life. Amen to Jesus. You know, once he was telling me things, I'll just keep quiet. Because whether you like them, except you don't want to go with the Lord. Except you want to go with yourself. This suffering with Christ, we must all suffer with Christ. These are things that we don't preach. Go to church. Church is filled up with motivational things. I'm not really moved by motivational. Let me tell you what, motivation will not remove suffering. Motivation cannot remove suffering. It can never remove suffering with Christ. So if you like get motivated a billion times, the suffering with Christ you are meant to suffer, you will still suffer it.
Mm-hmm.
Are we together?
Yeah.
And a man of God once said something in a pastor's conference, minister's conference I attended, you know, he said, external encouragement is short-lived for you as a man of God. So you must know how to be encouraged from within. And the easiest way to be encouraged from within is to decide that you must suffer with Christ. That's the easiest way to get encouraged from within. To just decide that this is suffering with Christ. And I'm ready to do what? If you're ready to suffer with Christ, motivational jargons will fill your head. And at the end of the day, you get frustrated working with the Lord. And I'm only against with members coming to church. We're encouraging them, we're motivating them. But I think it's time people come to church and they come with the understanding that we're coming to suffer with Christ. So what I go through suffering with Christ, I should count it all joy. Not getting more frustrated and looking for who will encourage me. And at the end of the day, we all know that it's the one that wears the shoe that knows where it pays. No matter how somebody encourages you from the external, you are still on insurance paying you. So you must learn to what? Deal with that pain inside. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
It's either you throw away the shoe or you now have to work with the shoe to ensure that it doesn't pain you, or you ignore the pain and keep working with the shoe. It's as simple as that. Is it? And the choice is all ours. Praise God forevermore. So the beatitude ends with these heavy words, very heavy, which the average everyday Christian does not want to hear. Amen.
Yeah.
The Christian does not want to hear it. We have plastic Christianity today, cosmetic Christianity today, and it's making a mess of us. We are getting messed up by the day, and we don't know. Amen. Yeah. We talked about persecution, looked at persecution now, but he says now, blessed are you when men shall what? First, revile you. To revile means to reproach you. Amen to Jesus. to reproach you, to upbraid you, to reproach you, to make you feel, look like you're a reproach. Are we together? Yeah, and it's one of the most painful things that, you know, I remember I was in a meeting, and they say he was a prophet, and he was prophesying for people, and he looked at me, only the prophesied for me, I stood, and I could see that instantly he started trying to reproach me. He started trying to reproach me. He was reproaching me. And I was like, is this prophecy? Are you getting what I'm saying? Is this prophecy? And further we got talking, I saw that he was confused. Even spirits, divination spirits, see me outside and they know who I am. A prophet that sees the prophet could not even know who I am. But all he did was using reproach strategies on me. Amen. To make me feel ashamed. Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
When people make you feel ashamed, when they want to make you ashamed for the gospel, there's a blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? He says, blessed that you went through shall what? Shall reproach you for my sake. His self is not for the sake of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've even seen, I talked about the prophet, I saw a similar one of God also, another one too. They've done everything to reproach me. Are you getting what I'm saying? To make me like feel ashamed for the sake of the gospel. There's a blessing in it. It is it's so much a blessing for this to happen. You see, we have not understood the definition of the blessing of God in the church. So we have defined many rubbish as a blessing of God. We have defined many nonsense and materialism as a blessing of God. When people reproach you because you are for the sake of Christ, you are blessed. So if you want to really look at the blessing that Jesus spoke about here, it is nothing related to what we define the blessing to be in the church today. Look at the Beatitudes. Look at, is anything nice here? Are you getting what I'm saying? And these are the things that Jesus says is a proof of you being blessed. So if you want to look at Jesus' definition of a blessed man and the church definition of a blessed man, they are at parallel to each other. And they are not only parallel to each other, they are at negation to each other. The Bible says the flesh lusted after the spirit and the spirit after the flesh. The word lust there means, it's not the other word that of lust. We talk about desire. It means to be at war. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, Jesus' definition of a blessed man, are you getting me? And the church's definition of a blessed man today, they are at war with each other. Because this blessing, this blessed man that Jesus has defined, are you getting me?
Yeah.
If we see them in the church today, we will call them cursed people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are we together?
Yeah.
Now, somebody was saying something. They said, you can be under the curse and still be worthy. Yeah. Yeah. Because wealth is not the proof of the blessing. Yes, you can. You are, when you are blessed, you can be worthy. But wealth does not make you blessed. He said, to be cursed is to be in sin. Simple. When you are not born again, you are cursed. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you can be cursed and what? Worthy. But today, in Christianity, when you are worthy, you are blessed. I don't know how we got here. If we bring Jesus' definition of a blessed man and the church definition of a blessed man today, they have war with each other. If the church see this kind of person that Jesus has described as a blessed man, we'll call him a cursed man. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because Jesus never spoke anything about wealth here. Material wealth. Are you getting what I'm saying? He spoke about what? Attitudes to be. Virtues. So, this one has to do with what? When men do what? When men reproach you, when they shame you because you are standing for Christ. How many of us will see this as a blessing? You know the funny thing? It's not even unbelievers that reproach us now in the church. It's believers that reproach believers. I saw two pastors fighting online. One was fighting the other. The other one was saying this about the other. The other one came up and said someone that had not been able to even fill up his parlor with members is coming to come and talk about it. I'm like, how did we get here? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We see ministers of God who reproach themselves, shame themselves. It now becomes a show of shame. I know God more than you. I know God before you. I know the way of the Lord. But I say, I know the Lord you don't know. The God I know you don't know. But I say, I've faith God. I've said, it's not a show of shame. And it's more pathetic that we are reproached by the brethren.
Mm.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
We are reproached by the brethren. And but Jesus said, when they reproach you for my sake, you are blessed. So if we look at this blessing that Jesus spoke about here in this beatitude, my brother, no Christian in our time really want to be the manifestation of all of this. Nobody wants to be a manifestation of this. Let's start the beatitudes, hunger and thirst. But nobody wants to be the manifestation of all of this. For this is what Jesus said the blessed man is. So the question is, where did we get our definition of the blessing from? Are you get what I'm saying? Say, blessed are you when men revile, that means they reproach you, they shame you for my sake. Says, I'm persecuting you. You've looked at persecution. You get, are we together? Mm-hmm. And they say, all manner of evil, all manner of evil, all manner of evil. You know, the word evil here basically means, you know, the word evil means full of labors, annoyances, hardship. So when they say things that make you, the things they say, they are full of, you know, labors. They make you labor mentally. You begin to think, is it me that they are defining, or is it somebody else? I remember when we came into this missions field, what they said about me, I was like, me. Now the funny thing about the New York is that they are propagandists, so they don't know you for matter, but they will talk about you as if they know you before. And you get what I'm saying? And I began, it will make you labor your mind. I said, is it me they are talking about? I went to a man of God, he said, I never knew the media could lie when they lied about me. He said, I know myself. So when the media lied about me, I said, no, forget it. The media can lie. And I'm an opposite. Somebody showed him the newspaper one day, was in his class. What did he show the newspaper to buy? He said, I don't buy a newspaper. And I was like, we showed him his face at the front of the newspaper. I said, I don't understand. I know myself. The newspaper cannot tell me who I am. But if you read what is inside the content of that newspaper, you see that it is evil. It is full of labor. It will make you start laboring mentally unnecessarily. You waste your mental labor. Isn't it they're talking about like this? Do you know it is me? You energy that you use to do better things. You labor thinking about what else. And look at the Christian faith today. The podiums, what we call the altars, have been turned to war zones where somebody says evil about another man. One man of God says evil about another man of God. The man of God stands up and replies the evil. And so it's become a labor zone of futile labor. And the flocks are the most of them. In a local adage, they say, when 20 fans are fighting, is the what? Is the ground that suffers. So we can see that the flock are suffering. Today, we're not into partisan Christianity. Where this one, he has his own flock. The other one has his own following. So when you come and hit him, his throat starts hitting you back. And this is all the manifestation of what? Evil. Are you getting me? Make you labor wrongly. You labor wrongly. So that's why we begin to ask ourselves, when we are done with this assignment here, when our works are tried, will they stand the test of time? Will they stand the test of fire? Because have we labored wrongly? Are we together?
Yes.
It means it's full of annoyance. Things that will make you annoyed. You'll be like so annoyed. And the devil wants us to be annoyed. Are you getting an object?
Yeah.
In fact, in martial arts, you are told that when you are annoyed, when your opponent can make you get angry, he has won the combat.
Yeah.
So as much as possible, never lose your cool. Never get angry. Never get angry. The devil would always and always say things that will make us angry. Bible says in the book of Proverbs, say, anger lieth in the bosom of fools. But the Bible says, be angry and what? Say not. It says, he lieth in the bosom of fools. Why? Because that's why these two scriptures, it makes it look like it's contradictory. It said, the Bible said, anger lieth in the bosom of fools. It says, be angry and say not. What is looks like, but it's not very contradictory. It says, he lieth in the bosom of fools. But something to lie, it means it's resting there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the anger stay with you till the sun goes down. Is that not so? For your anger to stay with you till the sun goes down, that means the anger has lied in your bosom. Because only the lie in your bosom means it's resting there. It's relaxing there. It's staying there. So you can be angry, yes, but don't let the anger lie in your bosom. That's why it should not stay with you till the sun sets. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Once the anger comes, do what? Do everything within, discharge it. It's not a member of the house. It's a visitor. that came to visit for some few minutes. Now, about those days when visitors overstaying his time, when they come to visit, you begin to give the visitor a sign. And people to give the visitor a sign. Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
So, begin to give a sign that you cannot stay here any longer. Why? Because I refuse to be a fool. And the devil uses evil words to make us annoyed. You become annoyed, and as you become annoyed, you cannot what? You cannot live the blessed life. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And when this happens, the next thing that happens to you is that the next word that represents evil here is what? Hardship. Are we together? Hardship. The next thing is that you start experiencing hardship. So when evil is spoken about you, life becomes hard for you. Things just become hard around you. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because you have become annoyed. I know when somebody is annoyed, things get harder. They get tougher, they get harder, Are we together?
Yes.
Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
So, we must understand that when we are standing for Christ, people will not try to make us ashamed. That's what Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, both to the Jews and the Gentiles. See, in other words, there's nothing you do that make me ashamed. He said, of the Jewish whip, I received that many. In Paris, prisons, I was there. What is in prison? When Paul is going to a city, he doesn't look for the finest hotel there, he looks for the prison. Because you know that after I preach, reproach will come. So we are reproached for your sake. And we now have a Christian today that is all reproach for the sake of Christ. I get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Paul was enjoying reproach. So long as for the sake of Christ, you are being reproached. Man, you are blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But today, the definition of Christianity is, when you are standing for Christ, you should not experience shame at all. No shame, no disgrace. But it says we are blessed. When for the sake of Christ, we are experiencing shame. We are experiencing disgrace. When we look like embarrassment,
mm-hmm.
we are experiencing because we are standing for Christ, for the sake of Christ. I get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And then we are persecuted, we are made to flee. And then we are what? Made to give we are giving evil labor, mental labor, physical labor, because of you are standing for Christ. And the second choice is if they give you the labor, if you choose to do it, that's when that problem is. I get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they give you labor, send the labor back to them. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Send labor back to them. When they make you annoyed, evict the annoyance. Evict it. It's a decision. I need to want you to experience hardship because you refuse to what? To labor for them because of their evil words. Mm-hmm. Are you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You refuse to get annoyed. You cannot experience hardship. You cannot what? Experience hardship. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
So these are what it means to what? Suffer evil, to suffer perils. Amen to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of a time full of peril to Christian faith and steadfastness, causing pain and trouble. These things, evil, you go through pain, there are times I've said, this pain, these troubles, these suffering, they are too much. Are you get what I'm saying? The pains, the troubles, they are so much. But if it's for the sake of Christ, are you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
The pains are worth the while. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Bad conditions. Amen.
Amen.
Evil and wicked people around you have experienced it. Are you know what I'm saying? Wickedness, because you are what? Standing for the sake of Christ. When you are going through all these things, that is a proof that you are blessed.
Amen.
You know, I've been through all these things and I'm like, God, what? Why? God, what are these things? I never understood that it was because I'm blessed. That's why I'm going through all this. Have it together.
Yes.
You know, I saw something again online. I've always known it before. But you know, I guess the Lord was trying to just remind me of something that I'm trying to push off. He said, when God trains his servant, he allows hardships and trials and pains and tribulations to happen to them. That is the way of training them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that many years ago, over two decades ago, but I actually thought that God had finished, so I should not be experiencing that. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
First Peter 5 says, the word of God, God of God, so has called unto eternal glory. Have suffered for a while. So the while means a season. But we need to understand that while, the season, just the same way you have seasons every year.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons come every year. You will go through surface, you know. And one of God said, these things are cyclical. He was experiencing at every year of your life, every stage of your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So every season of your life, just that it may not be like the way they were before.
Yes.
There was maybe some years ago, the way you suffered, you were like, ah, but God will not at this age allow you to suffer those kind of suffering. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you are growing and you're maturing, but you still keep, we all keep suffering. We keep suffering different evils, different pains. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
But just that they will not be the mighty they were before. They'll be lighter. And why do all these things happen? Because we have to keep remembering. God has to allow this happen so we can keep remembering that we are pilgrims on this earth. You get what I'm saying? This is not our last bus stop. If we don't suffer these things, we forget that we are pilgrims. Mm-hmm. A lot of Christians have forgotten that they are pilgrims, and they are beginning to live occupants of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Their life is just earth conscious. You know, I was teaching someone was like, I'm not against you having investment, but whatever your treasure, that you have to be. The systems we have in the world today are very terrible. A financial corruptor was talking about, like, don't buy gold. Because at the point in time, some last year, people were saying, go for gold. He said, don't buy gold. So because the people that control the world's financial system, they can determine the price of gold.
Yeah.
And once they determine the price of gold, they rubbish gold for you. You have stored gold inside one bank. And then when they tell you your gold is nonsense.
Yeah.
You wake up on a domiciliary account and you change it to a local currency account. These things are just to remind us that we are pilgrims here.
Yeah, yeah.
These pains are to remind us that we are pilgrims here. Somebody said, pain is to make you know that you are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel pain, you are dead. You are dead.
Mm-hmm.
So these things that we go through for the sake of Christ, to make us know that we are still alive in Christ, we are blessed, and we are pilgrims here. And may the Lord help us rejoice. If you see the next verse, it says rejoice. Verse 12 says rejoice and be exceeding glad.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord help us to rejoice as we go through these signs of the blessing and not see them as negative things, but see them as what? The proofs that we are what? We are blessed. We are going to be asking the Lord for grace to rejoice. So keep seeing these things that we go through for the sake of Christ,
yes,
as a blessing. And talk to the Lord.
Father,
thank you for your word, dear Abba Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, that this word dwell richly in us.
Amen.
To your glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now is your moment of salvation. If you are yet to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior, we request that you say this prayer along with many others now. Say these words: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, I repent of my sins, and ask that you forgive my sins. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross, died for my sins, and rose again in the third day. Today, I invite you into my life today. Wash me by your blood, make me your own, and till eternity be my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name.
For your love gift of any amount to Grace Life Kami Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 033-154-551-2013. SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. To give in CDs, Universal Merchant Bank Ghana, you can send to account number 033-254-551-2017. To give in Naira, you can send to Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. Also, for further inquiries, you can call us on +233-54-594-7132. Or send us an email via chimdiohahunaministry@gmail.com. Today, remain ever blessed.
We believe you were blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Beloved, remain connected to Grace Life Komi Podcast. Jesus is Lord.